Okay, Sarah, would you mind if we go ahead and just do a quick start over?
Okay, thanks. So I'm Sarah Hill, so we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order again at 2:03, and we'll start with a roll call.
Okay. Okay, Ryan Johnson, I know that he's absent. Sarah Hill?
Here.
Jim Bosomora? Danielle Cornelius?
Here.
Esther Curry?
Here.
Jenna Dower?
Here.
Gloria Hendrickson?
Here.
Brittany Hogue? And I see Brittany. She might also be having some computer issues. Hope Kasten? Donna Shaw?
Here.
Miranda Shake?
Here.
Carol Zeese?
Here.
And Brittany, if you're having issues with audio.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much, Brittany.
Sorry.
No problem. I also want to go, because this is a joint session with the Share Finance and Policy Committee members. I have the names I've already called, but for those that are the Finance and Policy Committee, Amy Byers, Janet Clare, Betsy Mahoney.
Here.
Jill Pfeiffer.
Here.
And Diane Yeoman. Okay, well then I think we can go ahead and move on to the share update. I do have a few things for you just to be aware of. The first is the Share eResources Committee met in late March. And as part of that discussion, they did make a motion to go ahead and change the eResources allocation. It was that we paid the $25,000 platform fee, and then 60% of the membership fee would go towards collections. And so they changed the algorithms a little bit from 60, 25 to 15, where 20% was the platform fee and 15% was for the pay per use. That pay per use program has been so popular that we're gonna go ahead and reallocate that distribution to 60, 20, 20. So we're just allocating a little bit more resources. There is a concern that maybe we might start dipping into reserves if we do that, but we do have some built up, so we'll be okay for a little bit of time, for a few years. So we're going to keep a close eye on it to make sure that we're not going too far into reserves without making it up with new membership and things like that. But we are getting a significant enough increase in membership each year that we think that we'll be okay. And so another item of business for the eResources Committee was a collection development policy that hadn't been updated since the program started with eRead Illinois. So we did review that, and we also made a determination that any type of reconsideration request should come here to the Share Executive Council, to the Share eResources Committee. And so we're working on the reconsideration processes for any type of patron concern, or as we've been seeing a lot of the very organized challenges. So we'll be prepared in the event that we have anything like that, because it is a shared collection. We wouldn't want to expect one of our member libraries to deal with that for an item that they might not have personally purchased, because it's available to everyone within that group. And so we will be working on that. We will bring that to the motion that was made to go ahead and bring it directly to the Share Executive Committee when it was ready for review and discussion, since the eResources Committee will not meet again until September. So we will bring that probably at our next regularly scheduled meeting. Wanted to give you all an update. We are still working on the Share Mobile Library. We're still in the phase to try to get self-service up and running. There's been some delays on that, but we are working on it. We are also working on one of our most frequently asked requests, which is to have the results show a filter for your library specifically, or the patron's home library specifically. The issue is with on the Polaris side, and so they are, that has been brought to their attention as a request for improvement. and it's in their plan for future development, but they have asked that if we have customer comments, that they would like to hear that. So if anybody is interested in the link to that and would like to leave a comment for the developers, I will be happy to provide that if you'd like to reach out to me.
I had a quick question, Cassandra. This is Carol.
Yeah.
When you say the delay on self-service, do you mean like its ability to check a book out, turn off security? Mm-hmm. Okay. Both of those things are, you're still working on them.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're actually using, Carol, it's funny that you asked that because we're actually using Decatur Public Library as a test case, and it's still what they call the test flight app. Okay. We need to submit some information to Apple, and there's just been some technical difficulties. So as soon as we get that ironed out, for anybody that was interested in the self-service or RFID, we'll let them know as soon as it's officially ready to roll out.
Perfect.
We have launched the McNaughton Leasing Program for Share. And so it's a really exciting program. I know you probably have all heard different variations of me promoting that. Thank you to those that have already signed up. It's going to be a great program. We're really excited about that. And so if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but you're interested, please go to the Share website. There's some information, including a demo and a link to sign up. And then we're also working on an EDI analysis tool. And that is also information available on the Share website. And so that's through Collection HQ. And it's a one-time analysis snapshot of your collection that you can use to make future decisions for purchasing and weeding. And so it more than that, but there's much more details on the Share website. We're also going to be offering a movie licensing through Swank, a new round of group purchases for that. And so be on the lookout for that. It'll come from our communications team if you're interested in purchasing that for your library. Anybody have any questions?
I do, yes, sorry. McNaughton, how many libraries have joined in?
Last count, there were 5.
That's it?
So yeah, that's it so far, but we just released it last week. And I'm also scheduled to go to the small library Pubs meeting on next Friday, and then Metro East, I'm on their agenda as well. We have some other networking groups, but it is only public libraries are not eligible. So some of the other groups may not benefit quite as much from that. But.
I'd be curious to see why people aren't joining. Center, you know what I mean? I don't know. Seems like a really great opportunity, particularly for smaller libraries, because so much of that work is done so that it doesn't take more staff time, you know?
I agree. If anybody has looked at that and has, I know that someone on the CERT committee said it was just a little bit more expensive than what they would purchase for a book from their jobber, even mm-hmm. though it's coming pre-processed and cataloged. Mm-hmm. But if anybody else has any feedback of why they chose that they are choosing not to participate, that they had, you know, considered it as a solution and are not going to move forward with it. If you have any feedback, I'd love to hear it.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Do we have any other old business that we need to discuss? Okay, then we can go ahead and move on to new business, the fiscal year 2023 budget review. Did everybody have a chance to take a look at the documentation that we sent for review? And thanks so much to Rhonda for preparing these lovely charts and the extensive detail that she did, her and her team did. Okay, and so then we'll go ahead and just get started with that. I've been having some issues with my volume today. Is that better? Better? Okay. Thank you. Okay. So the The largest expenditure is personnel, which I think is the first line that we kind of discuss here. We do have proposals to include 2 new staff members. For those of you that are not on the e-resources committee, I do have an announcement that Leslie Zavaduke is going to be moving into a contract position with IHLS in a different role as our grants specialist, I think is going to be the title. And so what she's going to be doing is actually researching the available grants and helping the different teams at IHLS research those and prepare grants for those. And so we're really, sad to see her go. She's done such a phenomenal job with the e-resources program for Cloud Library and SHARE. And so we know she's going to do a fantastic job in this new role as well. So best of luck to her. And when we found out that was happening, there was a sense of impending panic. Thankfully, she is going to be here to help train her predecessor. And of course, she'll still be available for questions as time goes on. We have had some phenomenal candidates who have applied for her position. We are advertising that as a full-time position because they're gonna have very big shoes to fill. In addition, we are gearing towards some ideas for expansion, as well as the the different programs that we're now offering, and we got ideas for some others as well. So having that person managing collections, not just with the e-resources, but also some of these ancillary programs. So that's why we did make the decision to advertise that as a full-time replacement. You may have remembered we had switched out a full-time for Leslie Zavaduke once before. And during the pandemic, that position moved into a cataloging role. And so we chose not to replace that. And so it was back to we increased basically a one half-time position when we did that the first time, and then moved that over to as a cataloger. And so now we're back at the point where we only have one share circulation and resource sharing specialist. So we're going to add 2. Zach will have a little bit of backup for training. That'll still be his primary role. And then the other circulation specialist coming in will also be expected to work on training and planning, communications, as well as the collection development. So it'll be a wide variety of duties for that person. Does anybody have any questions about that position? There is also a second position that we are proposing for a SHARE administrative assistant for our department. And that's simply to help us keep better track of our clerical tasks for our trainers, as well as our managers and supervisors. And so that is just to help us keep up with L2, with attendance, with printing handouts, all of the variety of things, so our managers and supervisors and trainers can work on higher level tasks that that they can focus their energy and attention on. And so that one is also a full-time position. There is a goal for IHLS to move towards more full-time employees, and it was explained to me that it was because it affects our benefits, the ratio you have between full-time and part-time. So we are moving towards more full-time employees. But in comparison, we have an administrative assistant for, of course, for Leslie, we have an administrative assistant for delivery. The finance department does not have a dedicated administrative assistant, but a few years ago, they brought in a fourth person to that team to help with some of those tasks as well, who has done a phenomenal job, and her role expanded quite significantly. And then now SHARE, we're asking to have that included as well, so the administrative assistant team can work together on some of the clerical tasks that just need to keep us rolling. Does anybody have any questions on that? Now, we recently I think it was only 2 or 3 months ago, we have went through a salary adjustment process with HR Source to make sure that everybody was being paid a fair market value. And then the first phase was to make sure that everybody was in the appropriate tiers. Then the second phase was to make sure that once everybody was in the right tier, we did some adjustment to make sure that our, you know, we cut out travel, we cut our budgets back to make sure that everybody could be paid based on their, you know, years of service and experience and education within those tiers. So not everybody's just at the beginning level. And so we were able to go through that second phase. And so that was actually just maybe last month. In the process of doing that, we actually found that there might be two individuals who got missed on that internal evaluation. So our numbers here for personnel could change slightly due to that, because education might not have been counted appropriately. So I do want to give you a heads up that those numbers still, there still might be a change that's still in discussion. Does anybody have any questions on that? Okay, and then the other piece of that that you may have noticed on the document was that it is budgeted for a 4% increase. And I wanted to make sure that I was super crystal clear of exactly what that was entails, because usually we do the cost of living increases. And last year we did not do a cost of living increase. IHLS Board of Trustees did not do a cost of living increase. Instead, they have decided to do alternate years where, of course, if IHLS has the funds, we wouldn't do it if we didn't have the funding to support it. But instead of doing cost of living with a percentage each year, they would alternate years between a cost of living increase and a bonus, because you don't want to avoid the compounding interest when you're adding to salary each year. And so the last year, fiscal 2022, was a bonus. And then, so this year they have added in the 4% for cost of living, but it's up to 4%. Again, it would be the IHLS Board of Trustees. If they determine IHLS staff would get a cost of living increase, generally that is at 3%. However, we have had some discussions about the having it tied to merit as well as cost of living. And so that's still in discussion of how that's going to look, but they don't usually make that decision until after the funding, until well into the fiscal year to make those determinations. So that's why they just put it up to 4%. It may not be that much. Does anybody have any questions on that? Rhonda, do you have any other comments about salary in comparison? I know we've done a lot of the salary market adjustments, but in comparison to prior years, because we have had such a significant changes with retirements in our cataloging department specifically, do you have any other comments that maybe I didn't think to touch on?
I really don't. I mean, if you looked at the budget itself, salary amounts went down. But it went down primarily because we don't have the Carly staff in there this year. We received $165,000 from Carly last year to do some cleanup work, and that is going to go over to CMC as of July 1. So it will no longer, those staff members will no longer be in share. Where the funds were held and they were paid out of. So a large portion of that, even though, I mean, it still didn't change significantly in personnel altogether. I mean, if you did think about last year, we did have several retirements. So we factored in their payouts and possible accelerated payments if that applied in IMRF and those things that were in there. I think there was like a total of 3 last year. So there was quite a few overlap, you know, between that and the rehiring of those positions to train. So, you know, the overall still decreasing by, you know, $100,000, you're still doing fairly well considering the increase of other things that we have in personnel, along with those raises that we have included in that personnel number. So, overall, I mean, I think personnel looks really good from last year to this year, given that fact that we don't have the overlap for retirements this year
even though we are taking Carly out and putting them in CMC. So that was the biggest change in your personnel, just those things that Cassandra mentioned. There's no rehiring of positions and that overlap of retirements. And then I just wanted to know Carly, staff will be going over to CMC. The State Library has allowed that for them to CMC to fund that because it really is work under that grant, the scope of that grant. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you so much, Rhonda. Mm-hmm. So when you look at going into the second page, you do see that there is a budgeted deficit of about $69,000. And with that, the deficit is due to, of course, the new positions. We do have a retirement factored in as well that is a maybe retirement. And so there's some additional funds for that. One of the other things is we've been very aggressive with a marketing and PR budget, simply because we do have some ideas for expansion and how are we going to get that message out. So I think we have discussed previously the discussions that have been happening statewide with the Rails Library System, as well as some internal conversations that we've been having with the State Library regarding a new grant for our school libraries, for IHLS school libraries. And so that's something that we're wanting to take on additional sponsorships at some of the education technology conferences. With the IHLS conference, we'd like to sponsor there. We really have a lot of plans to work on that. And of course, we're really thankful that Leslie Zavaduk, again, is going to be searching for funding opportunities for some of those initiatives to bring in more members. So we have had some significant increases and, of course, significant increases in travel to make sure that we have the staff to work at those events to make sure that we're discussing SHARE and can really talk to people about the benefits of SHARE. One of the things that when I, you know, anytime you say deficit, it's like, oh, no deficit. But the increases would go through our existing operating fund if we actually went right up into that point. We don't generally spend every last penny that we budgeted for each year, so it might not be quite that high. We usually do a mid-year evaluation to forecast what it would be through the end of the year and take into account any planned purchases that we know of in advance. Another thing to note is that we're in the third year of the three-year increase plan, it started with the really high increases and then tapered off by that 30 year. So we're seeing the reduction in the increases. And so it's time to start that discussion again. I don't know that we need to necessarily do an increase, but we are going to start taking a look at that as well to see where we're going to be in the next couple of years. My biggest concern is we're still in the recovery phase of the pandemic. Government tends to be the segment that starts feeling the pinch last. You know, for-profit companies, nonprofits maybe feel it a little bit earlier, but governments start to see it a few years down the line. So that is my biggest concern. However, I think with our revenues, we're still doing really well. Again, Rhonda, do you have anything that I might have missed adding that you think I should include?
I was just going to just mention, as far as the deficit goes, we don't expect, that SHARE to really end in their deficit by the end of the year that they had budgeted for this fiscal year. They could be close to flat, but it's, you know, originally we had budgeted negative $26,000. We did purchase all those training laptops. So that was a big part of your deficit for this fiscal year. I know Troy got a little bit better deal, as he always does on things. So that came in just a little bit under. So I think we should be good this fiscal year, the way things are looking currently. And then next fiscal year, I mean, you have that operating reserve amount that we've talked about for a while now. Right now, by the March 31st financial statements that I produced, we were at, you know, about lasting that operational money lasting about 6.7 months. So that takes you almost 4 months into the next fiscal year. That runs about $170,000 a month on average by your FY22 expenses. So, you know, if you think about $69,000, if we did go into a deficit on actuals by the end of next fiscal year, that would be under half of a month's worth of expenditures in that case. So the money obviously is there in your operating reserve balance that you have. And I expect that 6.7 months, you know, to be closer to 6 months by the end of the fiscal year, because we still have to do the $300,000 IHLS transfer still. So we will do that as soon as we receive our last federal funding portion from the state library, which I hope is shortly, but definitely by June 30th, I always transfer that money over to SHARE. So by then, you'll have even more operating cash kind of in a reserve amount. So, you know, that would be up to you to look at that and see what you want to do with that, whether, you know, that goes towards your consideration of increasing fees, you know, for next year or when the next time is. Obviously, this deficit, if we did end in deficit from what is budgeted, will be able to be absorbed easily by that operating cash that you have. But it just be dependent on to start talking. You know, I know we'll be having those talks soon about what that looks like for the future fees. But that could be a consideration too, about that amount of operating cash that you do have kind of stockpiled. That's all I really had to add.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much it for our budget. Again, we've been, this year we did it a little bit differently of taking the process and putting it hand in hand with our strategic planning, our what's called our operational plan. And so we had a chance to think about some of the goals that we have for this next year and then tie that really closely with our budget. So we were able to get those proposals again for possibly scaling up, possible marketing and communications with potential members. And again, what we wanted our staffing to look like with the changes with Leslie Zavidic's position specifically. So generally the budget is officially approved by the IHLS Board of Trustees. However, we do wanna make sure the SHARE Executive Council and the SHARE Finance and Policy Committee have a chance to review it. And if there are any comments that you'd like to make about the budget, that we would do a motion to send the budget to the IHLS Board of Trustees with any comments. Does anybody have any comments that they'd like to make when we send that to them?
Hi, this is Donna. The only comment that I have, I don't disagree with the proposed budget here, but I do think that Illinois Heartland and SHARE needs to start recognizing how the minimum wage is going to be impacting your smaller members. And as things go up here, you know, we're not necessarily going to keep being able to increase our SHARE contributions. And I also think that some of us might have sticker shock when the census numbers come out and our public per capita budgets go down because we have lost populations. And you are talking about the, you know, the southern and central Illinois sections of this state, and we are not some of the more affluent libraries in the state. And I do think that the minimum wage and the census is going to really impact us. And I was just doing my budget numbers, and it certainly is impacting me. So I just wanted to throw that back out there.
Donna, those are very good points. Thank you so much for sharing that. Does anybody else have any comments that they'd like to consider before we make a motion to send this to the IHLS Board of Trustees?
Hi, this is Jenna. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I moved my mic. It was operator error here this morning, this afternoon. I just noticed that on the first page, the personnel, it does say an increase of 4% of wages. So I didn't know if that was actually 4% or if it was that up to 4%. And if it were me, and this is just being super picky, but I would maybe explain the alternating years, like the bonus or the percentage increase. I felt better once that was explained. And then thank you, Rhonda, too, for explaining the deficit number. And that sounds huge to my library, but I mean, like, I'm operating at like 15,000 a month and not, you know, 170. So thank you for all your hard work in putting it together. I think it sounds really good. So thank you.
Yeah, that was a really good comment, Jenna. I appreciate that for the alternating years. And just to clarify, it is up to the 4%. And I think that's because there has been an intention of trying to tie it to merit-based increases as well. But I'm not sure how that's going to look because I don't think there have been official decisions made there.
Yeah, and I'll add that we did budget at 4% just because, you know, we've been talking, our board has been asking us to look into merit type raises for a long time with the inflation rate and what really cost of living is more in the fives right now with this coming year. We've all seen the issues with staffing, I know, and how pay affects that. But you know, what we haven't decided yet what that will be. And our final decision isn't, you know, it could be up to that, but it's budgeted up to that, but that may not be what it is till we see really what we're involved in and what we get back from feedback from member comments. The budgets will go out on our website with a link to review and out for member comment after our board meeting. So if you want to watch out for that, you know, and if you want to get on there and make a comment, you know, please do, because we do take those into consideration too. But that's what all of them were budgeted at, but it is kind of an up to amount because that's nothing official yet. So that's all I had to add.
Thanks, Rhonda. Is there any other comments or questions? Would someone like to make a motion to send this to the IHLS Board of Trustees for review?
This is Esther. I'll make the motion to do that.
Thanks, Esther. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thanks, Sarah. Okay, with the new OMA requirements, any motions do have to, in a virtual environment, any motions do have to, do require a roll call vote. So for the Share Executive Council, I will go ahead and take that. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Gloria Hendrickson?
Yes.
Brittany Hogue?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
And Carol Zeiss?
Yes.
Okay, thank you all so much. Okay, do we have any other new business that we need to discuss today? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move to public comment. Does anybody have any comments or any announcements? All right. Well, the next Share Finance and Policy Committee, the regularly scheduled meeting will be Wednesday, May 18th at 10 a.m. via Zoom. The next SHARE Executive Council meeting will be Thursday, June 2nd at 2 p.m. via Zoom. And I think that that's it. Sarah, if you want to finish us up.
Okay, so then we'll go ahead and we don't need to make a motion to close, correct?
Nope, you just say being no further business.
Okay, so with no further business, we'll go ahead and adjourn at 2:38.
Thanks, everyone. I appreciate all your thoughtful comments and participation today. Bye.